Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes. And as the followers of the show know, we're getting towards the end of the en route version of the Academy. And when you get to this point, week 11, okay, the FAA has nothing new to show you at the Academy. They'll show you all sorts of new stuff when you get to your first facility. But at the Academy, as far as what you need to learn, what you need to know to succeed at the Academy, the FAA has told you. Okay? At the end of week 10, you do problem 10, and that's the last time they show you new stuff. Okay, so week 11, we get into, you know, you finish up, you get 10A, 10B, and what the FAA calls targeted training. And that is where the student gets to choose which problem that they have already run they want to run again for practice. Okay. You get to choose. You get to choose what you want to focus on in that problem. Okay? I've seen students do anything from 3, 3B. 8B gets chosen quite a bit. You know, several, 6, 7, 8, 9, they all get chosen. It depends on what the student feels they need to work on. And that's really what the focus of the problem is. You want to focus on something that you didn't quite get the first time. And so, use it. It will be the first of two targeted trainings in week 11. Okay? So once you do that, day 52 is the last of your tests. It's the checklist eval, is what they call it. It's basically a computer entry test. And most of the time, 95, 98% of the time, students do very, very well on it. I would say the average is probably in the high 90s. 95 or above on a checklist eval. You've been doing it. You've been using it in the lab. It's not something you really have to study for. It is something that you can practice in the little mini lab that the FAA has downstairs in the Stafford building. Okay? So, it's worth 5 points. It's, I think, basically, the FAA said, well, we've only got 5 points in this program. We need 5 more points. And so they came up with the checklist eval. And it, like I said, it's a great way to get some extra points. So after day 52, you know exactly how many points you have and how many you have earned so far at the Academy, and you know exactly what you need to do in the evals, the radar evals, in order to pass, in order to succeed. Okay. And that's a big deal. But also, what's a big deal is now you're going to start the 11s and 12s. Scenarios that are 11, they start at I, go J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Then you'll do another targeted training, and then you do 12, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And then you're done with all the practice. So you basically have 4 days this week of practice and 3 days, make that 2 days, in week 12 to practice. Then you've got 2 days of evals and selection day on day 60. Okay, so this week, the FAA in the 11s and the first couple of 12s that you see, they're going to, as I was discussing it a little bit earlier, they're going to start showing you the cards that they have. If you were playing poker with them, they're going to start showing you their hand. But not completely. They're going to show you stuff coming from one direction, show you stuff coming from that direction, show you stuff coming from that direction. And then when it counts, it'll be the same exact thing, but it'll be coming from a different direction, from a different sector coming to you. Okay, do not let that throw you. Okay, it's just something the FAA has done and has done for years. They're not trying to trip you up. They're trying to make sure you understand the task that you're being asked to do, and understand it completely enough that you can handle it coming from a different direction, and not just try and memorize what you do if someone's coming this way, doing this, and landing here. Okay? One thing that the FAA is very adamant about is that you can't just memorize how to handle each scenario or something that happens in one of your scenarios, because it doesn't always happen the same exact way. And that's why they pay air traffic controllers what they pay them, because we're expected to take the rules and what we know and what we understand and use them when something new comes up. That's the whole process. That is what we do as air traffic controllers. Okay? So that's something that, as much as they can, the FAA tries to accomplish and get you to understand while you're at the academy. Do they accomplish it? I think in some ways they do, in some ways they don't. But they do try, and I commend them for trying, because it will make it easier for you when you start working live traffic. Okay, so the focus of week 11 is just, you're going to be handling scenarios that have more airplanes, about the number of airplanes that you can expect to see on the 2 days when it counts, as I like to call it. You're going to see that number of airplanes and nothing fixed that you are trying to work on. They're going to throw you all sorts of stuff. Point outs, reroutes, military change of destination, departures, arrivals, holding, traffic for your holding. Traffic for your holding. Can I say that again? Traffic for your holding. No, I won't say it again. But just know that there are reasons that certain airplanes and certain activities are happening in your airspace. Okay? So they're going to throw all this different stuff at you. And hopefully you're going to treat each one of these practice scenarios as an eval problem, because that is truly what you are spending the next 7 days doing. You're practicing. It's the final practice. It's the dress rehearsal.
it's leading up to the opening day. It's leading up to the game or match or event that those evals are. And so you're putting finishing touches. You don't really want the instructors that are watching you for all these scenarios leading and guiding you through the scenarios. That's all well and fine in the first 8, 9, 10 problems, or 8, 9, you know, those problems through problem 10. That's all great, you know, and that's what the vast majority of the instructors will do. They will teach, especially on those numbered problems. And then they'll teach a little bit less on the A problem, and hopefully a lot less on the B problem, because the B problem is your third shot at seeing what was new. You know, you do problem 4, you get new stuff. 4A, you go over that new stuff. 4B, you go over that new stuff again, and they throw in everything from 1, 2, and 3. Same thing with 5, and 6, and 7, and 8, and 9, and even into 10. 10A, 10B. 10B, you got everything available. Now, not everything's going to be in every scenario, and it won't be in the 11s or the 12s. And I know, because I've been there, I've talked to students, I've instructed students, been the lead for students. I know that students have a tendency to look at the 11 problems, scenarios, whatever you want to call them, and the 12s with a mixture of awe and fear. Okay? And when that happens, you go in already struggling, because you're looking at the problem differently than you looked at earlier problems. And there's really no difference. There shouldn't be a difference between the problems you run this week and the problems that you ran last week or even the week before. Okay? I guarantee you, if you're going through the program, or if you're about to go through the program, that when you start week 7 in radar, you just finished non-radar, and in week 8, when you start going through the computer message, and then in week 9, when you actually start the scenarios in radar, I keep telling students, there's a reason that the FAA takes you through these steps. They do not expect you in week 9 to be prepared for what's coming up in week 12. They don't expect you in week 10 to be prepared for what comes up in week 12. Week 11, it is there to prepare you for week 12. Like I said, these are dress rehearsals. These are final practices. These are when you shouldn't be learning things. You should be polishing things. At this point, we're using very fine grade or great, whatever it is, sandpaper. We're not using the chisel, starting to cut into the wood and fabricate something. We're using fine grit sandpaper. We're putting the finishing touches on who you need to be as a controller to succeed is the academy. And that's all it is. And that's why hopefully the instructors will back off of the teaching. Teach when they have to. Teach when you need them to. But try your best as a student during week 11 to not need that instruction. Do your best and find out during each run exactly where you are and where you stand. And I guarantee you, I've seen this over and over and over. Where you are on day 52, when you do the checklist eval and the first two of the 11s, and where you're going to be on day 57 when you finish the 12s. It's just a week. That is just a week. But you are not going to be the same. You're not going to be the same. So much improvement happens during week 11. So much improvement happens during week 11. You're going to be amazed. It will be more than you ever thought you could improve in just 1 week. I mean, if you want to equate it to losing weight, then look at it this way. How much weight would you lose if you did not eat one thing for a week? Not once. Drink. You have to drink to live. But think how much weight you could lose. And then multiply that times 10, and that's the improvement that you can make in this final week in the radar lab. And it's the same for tower. Okay? It's the same for tower. It's the same for TRACON. Once they get you to the point where you're not learning any new stuff, that is when you truly start to improve in leaps and bounds. They fed you all the information. You've been practicing it. You've been practicing it intensely and focused on what you needed to learn. And if you've been doing that, and if you have been putting in that work day in and day out, whether it's en route, tower, TRACON, N90, CTI, advanced ATC, it doesn't matter. You are going to improve. The only thing you have to worry about is doing the work, doing the practice, putting in the time. Look at it this way. Every time you practice, and I mean intense, focused practice at the academy, it's at least half a point to a full point on your final grade. Final score. Look at it that way. Does that mean I have to practice for 100 hours to get 100? Maybe twice that, to be honest. And over 12 weeks, 200 hours? You can't practice that many hours a day. That's why they've never had 100. They've never had a student score 100. I think the high score is 98.5 or 98.6. Maybe just 98.3. Hey, that's a heck of a target. And for some of you, that's the target you need to have. For some of you, the target you need to have is 90. For some, 80. Don't ever make 70 your target. Please, don't ever make 70 your target. If you miss and 70 is your target, you're not going to pass. If you miss a little bit and 80 is your target, you still pass. If you miss a little bit and 90 is your target, you're still going to be in the top half of your class. If 98.5 is your target and you miss a little bit, you may still be number one in your class. You may be picking your facility first. That's what it means. Okay? So, intense, focused practice. You're in week 11. Week 11 is when, I'll be honest with you, you start losing sleep. If you haven't already, you're probably going to this week. I've had students ask me the day before evals, what's the one thing I need to work on tonight? And I said, sleep. They looked at me and said, Tom, I haven't slept in a week. I'm like, well, I can't do much for you. You have to sleep. You have to get as much sleep as you can. Your body needs that. Your mind needs that. You need that. Okay? That is what this week is about. Still practice. Still have the intense, focused practice that will pay off, and will pay off next week. You're down to the final week. The more you have that intense focus practice, the more that you have practiced, the more that you have put in the work, then the less nervous you will be. Notice I didn't say you're not going to be nervous, because you will be nervous. And you know what? Being nervous is not a bad thing. I've told every single one of my classes, being nervous is not a bad thing. Because being nervous means that you care about it and that it matters to you. And if you want to be an air traffic controller, there are going to be times when you're going to have to be nervous. You're going to need to be nervous. Because you need to care in order to do this job. And I'm not saying you have to worry about, you know, thousands of people on your frequency at the same time. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You have to care about doing the job well and doing the job to your best of your ability. That's what I mean by caring. And if sometimes you don't get nervous, then you may be in the wrong job. So being nervous is not a negative thing. Okay? It can be a good thing. Even professional athletes, the best professional athletes in the world, get nervous when it comes to crunch time. But you know what gets them through? The fact that they have practiced and practiced and practiced for just that situation. Oh, what we can learn from them in trying to be an air traffic controller, or in trying to be the best that we can be at whatever endeavor that we're in the middle of. By practicing, we put ourselves in the best possible position to excel when the time comes, and to excel when that moment comes. And the more often we do that, the more often the people around us are going to rely on us and know that they can rely on us. And when the FAA and their evaluators see you walk into the lab for your evaluations, and they sense that you're not scared. You can be nervous. There's a huge difference between being nervous and being scared. Don't be scared, because you got this. You've put in the work, and you know it. You've put in the hours. You've sacrificed things to get to this moment. And when you walk in that room and they sense, yes, nervousness, but a certain confidence, that's when they go, oh my, who do we have here? And that's when they really can be on your side. Okay? Because you're the type of person that they want to have in the agency, that they want to have working airplanes. Personally, if I were an evaluator, I would rather someone who's confident of themselves and who makes mistakes. Everybody's going to make mistakes. But they're confident in their ability, not overconfident, but they're confident in their ability to get the job done. That is who I want talking to the pilot of my airplane when I fly. And I can't give you a better compliment than that. So, week 11. Penultimate week. Next to the last week. You've been in Oklahoma City for over 3 months. You've endured Oklahoma City for over 3 months. I can say that because I was born there. I've lived there. You've endured it. You've survived it. You've earned the right to be in week 11. Learn as much as you can from it. Get some sleep. Polish up what you need to polish up. But more than anything, walk into every single scenario in week 11 confident that the FAA can't throw anything new at you and that you can handle whatever they throw at you because you can. Okay? Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for letting me speak my mind. I hope it helps you. I hope it elevates you in some way or manner. But just understand, again, the whole reason I do this is because I don't want you feeling like you have to go through this journey that you have decided to go on. What an amazing decision to decide that you want to be an air traffic controller. Are you crazy? Hopefully, just crazy enough. Because most of us are just crazy enough. But yes, what a great decision you have made. Whether you have family that have done this job or are doing this job, or it's something that no one in your family has ever thought of doing, and they think you are, you know, just out there for even trying it. Just realize, not a single one of you has to go through this alone. Not a single one of you can go through this alone. Get together with classmates. Get together with friends. I'm here. If you have a question that you just need an answer to, no matter what stage you're on, even if you haven't even applied for the job and you just want to talk about what the job is like and want to get a little bit more from me than what I've given you in these podcasts, hey, give me a call. Send me an email. We'll set up a call. If you can't tell, I love to talk air traffic. I can't get enough of it. I'll talk your ear off. Okay? So you can email me, TomHaines@sidebysideATC.com. You can also go to the website, which is amazingly sidebysideATC.com, and you can sign up there to arrange a no obligation whatsoever one-on-one call with me. And I'd love to talk to you. And I'll tell you, it doesn't have to be air traffic, because believe it or not, I like to talk about other subjects as well. But just understand, you don't have to go through it alone, and please don't try. The great thing about this job is there will always be someone around you. Even if you're working a mid and you're by yourself, there's a guy downstairs, a girl downstairs, there's someone around. Even if it's other controllers, other facilities, there's someone around. You're not the only one. Don't feel like you have to do it on your own, by yourself. Whether you're advanced ATC, CTI, in the military, at the academy, or just dreaming about the possibility of being an air traffic controller, don't do it alone. Get someone with you. Family, friends, classmates. Just get someone to go through this with you. And if you want someone, like I said, I'm here. Willing to talk, no matter what, and for however long you need. Okay? So, don't go it alone. Let someone come alongside you. I'm more than happy to. And, have a great week. And until next time, goodbye.